And as well as allowing nutritional value of foods to be enriched, gene editing could also be used to enhance the taste of certain things. And one of my favourites has been highlighted as a potential target, and that is coffee. The delicious taste of the bitter beans are one of the main attractions, but not everyone is keen on one of the other ingredients, and that's caffeine. Although many are not very fond of the flavour of decaf either. And while modern varieties are better than their predecessors, many say it just doesn't cut it. So could gene editing hold the key to crafting a better non-caffeinated cup of coffee? Well, here to help us answer that is geneticist Thomas Merritt from Laurentian University, who must be one of the first guests actually to do the experiment before the interview even started. He's tweeted a picture of himself holding a cup of coffee. And in fact, one of our other Twitter followers, Thomas, has said, was that a much bigger mug before you did CRISPR-Cas9 on it? Because it looks far too small to me.
It is not. And I will say, full disclaimer, that's also not decaf. I tried to convert myself and I didn't make it.
I'm in good company then. When we make decaf, Thomas, how is that actually done?
There are a couple of different answers to that. It all comes down to extraction. So we try to take out the caffeine and leave everything else in. Historically, this was done with benzene, which is just terrible. There are some better processes now. We can use something called the Swiss water method. But it really comes down to, can you pull out the caffeine and leave everything else there? With Swiss water, we actually try to put everything else back and then take the caffeine out. In all cases, you never get quite the same coffee at the end of the process.
So how might gene editing solve this for us then?
Most of the coffee that we're drinking is Arabica. And there are varieties of Arabica out there that don't make caffeine. So natural mutations that have happened have knocked out the pathway. And so we're looking at those thinking, well, could we do the same thing and knock out the genes? There are a series of enzymes that are part of the caffeine process, and we could simply turn those off.
And if you do that, does that not in and of itself affect the flavor? Because caffeine is a bitter flavored or bitter tasting chemical. And if you remove it, you are going to color the coffee, aren't you?
We don't know the answer to that. It seems like maybe, but we can certainly get closer to a coffee that tastes like coffee, the coffee that you expect, by creating a coffee that just doesn't have it in the first place, so a caffeine-free coffee. Whether it's going to be exactly the same, I honestly don't think anybody knows the answer to that yet.
What could be the consequences for the coffee itself? It presumably makes caffeine for a reason. Some have speculated that plants put caffeine into their nectar to addict bees to their flowers, so bees are more likely to pollinate them. I mean, there is some evidence to support that, but it's also a natural insecticide. So if we started robbing this stuff out of the plant, does it have knock-on consequences?
That's a really interesting point, and we're not going to know the answer until we try it. Traditionally, we think of caffeine as being an insecticide. And so it's a way that has evolved in a number of different plants, not just coffee, to limit the way that insects chew on the plant. So what happens when we take that away? We're not entirely sure. I think we're looking at a agricultural situation and not a wild plant. And there are other ways that we could be able to manage those pests.
In the past, when we've wanted a crop with a certain characteristic, what we've done is to go and find crops that have that characteristic, crops that have another characteristic, cross them together and hopefully get the best of both worlds. Could we not do that with coffee, to find a low caffeine variety, cross it into an Arabica that tastes great and get a low caffeine, good tasting Arabica?
Yeah, so coffee, Arabica in particular, really doesn't like to cross. It's one of the reasons that varieties of coffees taste like varieties. It's really difficult to get crossing between Arabica. It's easier with Robusta, which is the other really dominant coffee that's grown in the world, but it's a long process. And coffee takes about 25 years or so to get an adult plant that's producing enough beans to be a commercial plant. With genetic editing, could do this in something like 5 to 7 years. And we could actually be testing much sooner than that. So in the space of a couple of years, you could test whether the editing was efficient and you'd actually created a plant that was potentially caffeine-free.
So slightly longer than it takes to make a cup of coffee, but not much. Thomas Merritt, thank you very much indeed for explaining it for us.